Welcome back to the Green Zone postgame show. Jamie Nye, Daryl Davis, and Belton Johnson with you on this Friday night as the Saskatchewan Roughriders fall 17-16. It was a walk-off field goal by Sergio Castillo. The Riders could have had 43 seconds left to try to come back and kick a game-winning field goal themselves, but a pyramiding penalty on the field goal allowed the Bombers to get a first down, then run out the clock for Castillo to walk it off. As the Bombers move to 9-8, they'll be watching closely because if Edmonton loses tonight, they clinch a playoff spot. And the BC Lions just tied the football game 10-10 is the score at the half between the Lions and the Elks. 1-877-332-8255 is the fan line here on the Green Zone. Let's go to Princess Auto Stadium and hear from head coach Corey Mace.
So you almost get the win. Last second, they get the field goal. How do you feel about the way things went down tonight?
Oh, man, just mad, you know. We wanted to come in here and then win a football game. We want to win every week. The guys battled their tails off. Costly penalty for us there at the end of the game. You know, they executed through the full 60, and we didn't, unfortunately, but I don't want to take anything away from how proud I am of that group, man, to come in here against the Winnipeg Blue Bombers fighting for their playoff lives, and we put that together. So that was the silver lining in it.
Yeah, Winnipeg, with everything to play for, you didn't have all your starters in this game, still pushed them to the last second. The defense especially really seemed to make Winnipeg's life hell today. What went into that effort from your group? What made it so difficult for Winnipeg to move the ball?
You know, I think just trying to pick spots and rhythm as far as, you know, pressure and, you know, trying to understand when they're going up top or, you know, when they're running the ball. So just mixing in the attack a little bit. You know, we had guys rolling in and out. I don't know, maybe it was a little bit of fresh legs for some guys to get in there and keep the pressure rolling. So, again, man, I just proud of it. That's an explosive group on offense over there, and I thought our guys from top to the bottom all the way to the end played their tails off.
Late in the game, a lot of passing plays with the lead. Some people might be surprised to have seen that. What went into the play calling and keeping throwing the ball with the lead?
Yeah, you know, we were struggling running the ball, so that was number one. And then also, you know, we got faith in our quarterbacks, be it Jake or Jack. You know, we see it every day. So I thought we were a little bit more efficient, you know, moving the ball through the air. No issue with that. We got to make the plays.
How do you address the number of penalties you saw out there tonight?
Yeah, I don't know the total number, Britt, but you know me.
You had said early in the week that despite, you know, who's on the field, the standard won't change. Do you think that the standard was there for the level of play you want, even with some of the backups?
Yeah, no, 100%. Like, that's, you know, outside of the penalties, I'm sure that Britt just brought up. Extremely proud of those guys. A lot of them, you know, getting their first play of being on offense and or defense and special teams at a full clip. They fought their tails off. They know what the standard is. And we were a play away from coming out with a win. But I'm leaving tonight really encouraged about just solidifying what I already knew about the people in that locker room.
That is head coach Corey Mace here on the Green Zone postgame show. See Belton?
I hear him,
He has faith in anybody who's out there.
Yeah. So Daryl's wrong.
There you go.
Daryl's not wrong.
He has faith, and he needs to have faith in anybody who puts on the field in any scenario on any given team.
Both quarterbacks, well. I don't know why you would have faith in Jack Cohn being able to play now at the moment.
They couldn't run the ball tonight, so let's give them heck for not. Logan Ferland was dressed. Why didn't they put Logan Ferland in at the end of the game?
Jamie, you're the one who said. You're the one who said, why don't they put in Trevor Harris at the end to try to win this game?
I was being funny. There was no hope in heck they were putting Trevor Harris in the game.
The funniest jokes are the true ones, Jamie.
Did you actually think I was serious, Belton, when I said they put Trevor in? That you actually thought I was serious?
Why wouldn't they have?
Oh no. Come on. Now we're losing the plot. 1-877-332-8255 is the fan line here on the Green Zone postgame show on this Friday night as the Riders lose a 17 to 16. Coming up, we will hear from a few of the players. Overall, what Corey Mace said there, how much of that is true on the effort given from whoever was in the lineup? I think he's bang on. They like to it. to go up against the Bombers, who had everything to play for, and were taking it to them at times, Belton.
They did.
They were smacking Zach Collaros all night. It didn't matter who was in on defense.
And the way they, when I look at the, and it was the defense, right? The defense brought it big time. And, you know, they were bringing pressure. They were bringing Brooks Jr. from the outside. They were bringing Miller up the middle. And they were hitting that. They were hitting Collaros. Like, I don't know if he's probably pretty banged up right now. I'm sure of it. And if the defense could play like that, Jamie, and then I just look at some of the back end guys, right? The secondary played pretty good, I thought, right? So that's where I have a hard time with, like, who's going to be on that playoff roster. Like, I'm already looking at it, and I go to offense. Where's Mitch Pickton been all year? He looked like a stud out there, right? The couple catches he had. And I don't know. Like,
he had the longest play and the five catches, 71 yards.
Yeah.
Right. He was in Robustelli's spot, though, because Robustelli went down on the first play. How about a flea flicker first play of the game?
And see, that's with the offense, it hasn't done much the last couple weeks, right? And that little flare of, I was like, whoa, that's a little wrinkle there, right? I haven't seen that play at all this year, I don't think. So do they still got things up their sleeves? I think they do, man. I really do. And I'm excited to see what's going to happen here come playoff time with this team. I really am. They got the pieces.
They do have some good ones. Yeah, you're right. There are a lot of guys, and I'm never saying that I wasn't impressed with how hard they played, and the fact that they took the reigning Western, five-time reigning Western champions right to the mat and could have won this game. I think it's pretty impressive.
Daryl, you're only criticizing one point of the game.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I haven't been critical of the way the team played. Good for them, but they had a chance to win it. That's my point all the time, is that they could have done a little bit more, but the guys who played, you're talking about replacing some tremendous players. Thurman comes out, and in comes a guy who you think, I barely heard of Aubrey Miller Jr., right? And he comes in and pressures Zach Collaros right away. That secondary has been battered around, man. When you look, they're missing Roland Milligan Jr., the reigning defensive player of the year. They've just got Tavon Campbell back, moved him over to the other side because Marcus Sales is hurt, right? Benny Sapp III is playing in Campbell's old spot. They got C.J. Rivas. They've moved him back to the safety, which I think I would keep him there, especially the way Antoine Brooks Jr. played at that Sam spot. That's a spot for him. He they weren't that happy with him playing in the secondary. Two sacks tonight, Jamie. His first two in the major in the CFL. I think they found something. And if you put Campbell back at the corner, and the way A.J. Allen is playing, man, what an impressive game. He's just been a great player all season. There's their two Canadians on defense, and I think they're ready to go that way, and they get Rivas in the backfield. I know he might not like it. He's farther away from the play because he likes the action, but I think he's really solidified that group back there.
1-877-332-8255 is the fan line here on the Green Zone postgame show. Your thoughts as the Riders do fall, 12-5 record. So the 14 wins, which would have tied a Rider record, is out of the equation.
Uh-oh.
My goodness. I don't know how I'm going to go on. But we still have a lot more to come. Belton Johnson's Beasts and Beefs. And, of course, more time for your calls as the Bombers beat the Riders 17-16. And now the Bombers are watching this game closely. The BC Lions and the Edmonton Elks. If the BC Lions win, the Bombers are in the playoffs, and the Elks are not. 1-877-332-8255 is the fan line here on the Green Zone postgame show on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. Jamie Nye, Daryl Davis, and Belton Johnson with you here on the Green Zone postgame show as the Riders drop a 17-16 decision to the Winnipeg Blue Bombers tonight. The Riders had the lead. but saw Sergio Castillo kick a 22-yard chip shot with zeros on the clock, and it was a bomber victory, which allows the Bombers to potentially clinch a playoff spot tonight. They're now cheering on the BC Lions, who are about to begin the third quarter against the Edmonton Elks. The scenario tonight in that one is BC wins, and BC, BC's already clinched a playoff spot, but BC, Calgary, Winnipeg will all be clinched a playoff spot, and then it's deciding who's going to the East Division to take on likely the Montreal Alouettes, although that's not sealed away yet either with the Hamilton Tiger Cats on a bye week this week. Montreal still has a chance to catch them for first place, albeit unlikely because the Hamilton Tiger Cats play Ottawa in week 21.
That's a tough road, Jamie, and I've heard on the Green Zone a lot of people saying, oh, it's easier for the maybe two Western teams in the Grey Cup, and I don't see that. Nope. I see Montreal, especially Davis Alexander. Good thing he wasn't hurt seriously last game, but they're a force with Davis Alexander at quarterback, and Bo Levi Mitchell's doing a pretty fine job with Hamilton. They're still tough to beat. I know that they have some ups and downs, but if they're on top of their game, they're a tough team to get through. And remember, there have been no Eastern teams have ever made a crossover into the West. What is it? Seven, nine, I think, have gone. I've forgotten the number. Sorry, how many Western teams have gone to the East, but they've never gotten past the East semifinal. They have gotten past the semifinal, but never past the final. It's a tough road to go to. And if Winnipeg ends up heading that direction, that's tough to get back into a Winnipeg Grey Cup for the Winnipeg Blue Bombers if they have to go through Hamilton and Montreal.
As we continue here on the Green Zone post game show, there's been a few crosses. Saskatchewan's done it.
A couple times. Yeah.
Nobody has done that.
Nobody's
They've gotten to the West Final or the East Final. Remember, the Riders nearly did it.
The Toronto, right?
Ricky Ray hit Wilder over top of Sam Aguavin in a few play on a third down, or that would have been game over, and the Riders are in the Grey Cup. He hits that play, and then Cody Fajardo runs it in from 1 yard out to beat
Argos.
The Riders.
When
he was a Toronto Argonaut. Edmonton has made an East Final, but they weren't able to win that one. It is not the easiest road.
It sure isn't.
Nope. Those long trips east are no fun for anybody in the West. I'm trying to think, has there ever been a four-way tie in the Canadian Football League?
I know three-way ties. They've had to break three-way ties before, but I don't ever remember a four-way tie.
Four-way
tie. And that's tough to break. But a four-way tie at 9-9 would eliminate the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. That's what I just remember being looking it up from the CFL.
If that's the scenario that it happens,
teams end up at 9-9, it's bye bye Winnipeg.
1-877-332-8255. 1 year there was a 3-way tie at 11-7.
I remember that.
Winnipeg Blue Bombers, Saskatchewan Rough Riders, and BC Lions. That was in 2003. Mm-hmm. Calgary was 5-13. Edmonton was 13-5. Back in the day. But we continue here on the Green Zone postgame show. Let's get to Belton Johnson's Beasts and Beefs.
From chop blocks and dirty hits to big-time catches and fans in the stands.
That was a good old Southern spanking right there. Mm-hmm. I love every bit of it.
You never know what'll catch Belton's attention. It's Belton's Beasts and Beefs.
We go through the game with Belton Johnson, and he tells you what he liked and what he did not like. In the football game, Belton, where would you like to begin?
Let's start with the beast, Jamie.
The beast, the good. What did you like about this 17-16 game that the Bombers beat the Riders?
The very first quarter, Exume forced
their
fumble on the opening kickoff, right? That was a great play. Second quarter? Brett Lowder nailing that field goal right before the half. I was like, "Ooh, all right, he's back."
is this foreshadowing?
No. And then the fourth quarter there, Fields, picking off Kolaris there, right? But fellas, my biggest beast, it comes from the Bombers, believe it or not.
Really?
The big man running that freaking corner route, man. I know he didn't catch it, but God.
It was a corner.
Hey, that was a corner, Roddy.
You said it's just little hooks or fades.
Oh, man. A little sweeps. And the thing is, what, Tuielli, right?
Tuielli.
And he, who was the linebacker? That would have been Allen there, I believe. And he, like, shook inside.
Claris missed it by 5 yards.
I know, but it's just... It was a thing of beauty there.
I love those. Big man.
Did you just say it was a thing of beauty?
It was a thing. He didn't catch it, but it was like, I can't believe they ran that play, man.
I couldn't believe they ran it either.
I could not believe that, man.
Well, Luke Wilson said it on the broadcast. He was like, they need to, you know, do some more things. That was the next play. He's like, they got to have some innovation
the next
in here.
Play?
Yeah.
They were listening to
it. It was like, and then they bring him back. He's like, that is not what I was talking about. I thought Brady Oliveira should get involved more, not that. But,
man, that was.
I looked at Belton. I'm like, that's your dream.
It is, yeah, man.
Belton would have caught it, though.
Give me a corner route.
Yeah, Claris would have hit Belton. Belton would have been farther downfield too.
Oh yeah, I would have been way. I would have at least three more. Man. At least 3 more yards. Yeah. I would have got my hand on it there.
Behind coverage, look out corner. Here comes Belton.
That's my beast, Jamie. That.
Have you ever had to run a route?
No, no. I wouldn't want to do it in the game, Jamie, because no? Who was it? Dan, right?
Dan yeah. Clark. Yeah. He scored 2 touchdowns in his career.
Dan, yeah.
One of the greatest catches of all time was him in BC. Do you remember who threw the pass?
No. Who was it?
It was Tino Cesari.
Well, he finally connected with somebody.
Yeah. His eyes were in the right place. Uh-huh. All righty.
That's my beast,
Your
Jamie.
Beast is a corner route. Incomplete pass to an offensive lineman.
A big offensive lineman.
Do you know what happened? Do you know what, ladies and gentlemen? That is the indication of what this game was. 17-16. It didn't flatter either team that Belton's favorite play was a corner route by a 320-pound backup offensive lineman.
Oh, boy.
You guys ain't seen nothing. Wait till you try to pick the offensive game warriors for this thing.
Oh, my goodness. Can't wait for that.
Good luck there.
Yeah, really. That's my task.
Okay, Belton.
Good job on that one, though, Belton.
Let's get to the beefs.
All right.
What did you not like?
All right.
First, this is a long list, by the way.
It's pretty decent.
Let me get his number one beef. Can I predict what the number one beef is?
Go ahead.
That Zach Collaros didn't complete the pass
to the offensive
lineman. No? Okay.
First quarter there, Collaros to Ontario Wilson. It didn't look like, I don't know if it was busted coverage, but he was just wide open. In the back of the end zone there, right? What else do I have here? In the third quarter, there was an exchange between Jake Mayer and Mario Anderson Jr. I don't know if it was a misread or whatever, but it was just a bad start to the second half there, that fumble there. The fourth quarter here, I have, who is it, Redwine, the pyramid penalty, right? Because it extended the Bombers' drive, and ultimately, I mean, they were able to run the clock out there, right?
Yep.
My biggest beef was TSN, Jamie. Well, what did I see on the teleprompter? First and 30? I'm like, what?
First and 30.
What, Jamie?
At the 30-yard line.
Okay, the score was 10-7, but I'm like, Daryl, didn't they just make the kick?
For a whole series, it said 10-7.
Right, and it was 10-10, right?
Yeah.
And then the timeout, because this confused me, the timeout was called by the Bombers, but the timeout graphic showed that the Bombers still had their timeout, so I'm like, do they have 2 timeouts? Then they took everything. I'm like, oh, they have no timeouts. It was just bad, Jamie. Were they watching a baseball game?
That's what we all thought.
People here
was like, is the guy in the trailer watching the Blue Jays game right now?
That was awful.
It was 10-7. The first and 30 at the third. They put the wrong thing in.
I was
because it was first and 10 at the 30, but they put first and 30 at the 30. You noticed that. I didn't notice that one. And then I'm watching. I was like, timeout. Oh, I guess they have. And then Britton's like, no, they've called both their timeouts.
And I'm like, what?
But it says two. And he's like, yeah, they haven't taken it off. Like, okay.
So, yeah, that was bad on TSN there, yeah. Right?
That's baseball night. They're all Brewers fans.
But who was working the camera in the one end zone on field goals?
Oh, couldn't even see.
Couldn't even see the ball on that one. Yeah.
They didn't zoom out far enough that you could see where the ball was.
Yeah.
Like, what are we doing?
I don't know, Jamie.
This is a professional league.
They watching baseball, Jamie. He had his phone. And he's watching it.
Watching the stream on his phone.
Camera three, zoom out.
What? I'm watching Sportsnet.
Oh, boy.
Hold on. Cal Raleigh's up against Brendan Little. I want to see if this goes well or not.
Yeah. You can see 45 camera angles from there, but last night you couldn't watch the Brewers Dodgers anywhere in Canada.
Yeah, that was.
That's pretty bush league.
Yeah, unless you could stream it for $30 a month or whatever
it's 60.
It was. Jamie and I, Daryl Davis, Belton Johnson. There is Belton Johnson's Beasts and Beefs. A lot more to come, including we'll hear from the quarterback, Jake Mayer. Meanwhile, an update. Cody Fajardo just threw a terrible, terrible pass. It was picked off, went the other way for a touchdown. BC Lions lead 17-10 early in the third quarter. A win by BC clinches the playoffs for Calgary and Winnipeg tonight. That is the importance of this game. If Edmonton wins, things can still get weird in week 21. This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Welcome back to the Green Zone postgame show. Jamie Nye, Daryl Davis, and Belton Johnson. The Edmonton Elks just went for it on 3rd and 12 in a must-win game early in the third quarter, and you're only down by 7.
Yeah.
That made no sense.
Well, that's one of those scenarios. They're in just out of field goal range.
Oh, wow.
And if you punt,
the next play, BC goes 50 yards downfield.
Yeah. But isn't that one of those plays that we talk about next year that, or 2 years?
2017,
When they move the goalposts back, that all of a sudden you're in that no man's zone. Mm-hmm. You're probably just out of field goal range, and maybe a field goal doesn't help you much. So, and if you punt, well, it might go to bounds, might go into the end zone and get a point. You don't need that. So you go for it. And I think that's probably what they were thinking, but you're right. It totally backfired. So bad strategy, bad result. But once again, Jamie, you don't know how it's going to go until it all turns out, right? Until it's all over.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to see how this works.
So we'll see how it goes. Again, if the BC Lions win, Calgary and Winnipeg clinch their playoff spot, and the Edmonton Elks will once again miss the playoffs. But it was a valiant effort trying to get back into things with the Edmonton Elks.
Beating Winnipeg that was a big win for them against Winnipeg.
Yes, it was.
You know what? Other than a couple of stupid plays, they're hanging tough with the BC Lions, who have won 4 straight.
And they beat the Riders, too, right?
The Elks did.
Yes, they did. That's what they were a strong team coming down the stretch here.
Yeah. Well, and the Riders are 2-0 against BC, so we'll see what they do to try not to win next week, too.
Well, I imagine it'll be an interesting lineup next week against the BC Lions.
Might be.
But let's go back to Princess Auto Stadium and hear from the starting quarterback, Jake Mayer.
Jake, how did you feel about getting some reps in there?
Yeah, it was fun. Fun to go out there and compete against a really good team in a really tough environment. We just came up a little short, obviously. Felt like we started the game really well as a group. Had some lulls there in the middle. Put together a nice drive at the end of the half. Put together a couple more drives in the second half. And yeah, it just wasn't enough, but it was fun to compete.
When you suddenly see that, oh, we thought we were going to start on defense, but instantly a turnover on the kickoff, you're on offense. And then you're in the end zone 2 plays later. That's such a quick transition. Yeah. That flea flicker, take us through that play.
Yeah, I mean, we had it dialed up all week. We just didn't know exactly when we were going to call it. But with the momentum of that play, we just felt like, man, what better time than now? Truth be told, I didn't get a great release on the ball. It kind of fluttered on me a little bit. I just tried to get it out of my hand as quickly as it possible to get it down there to Joe. And then, obviously, the pass interference set us up at the one. But, yeah, it wasn't actually a very good throw at all. But I was glad that we got a nice outcome, put us on the one, and Jack punched it in.
Did you know going in how long you'd be playing?
Yeah, the expectation was to play as long as Coach wanted me to. Obviously, it was a good opportunity for everybody to get some reps and get the competitive juices going. But the expectation was to win, and we ultimately fell short. But I take the field until Coach says so.
That is Jake Mayer post game.
What? There goes your argument, you guys.
No.
As long as Coach wanted me to.
Whoa.
You guys said if it's three quarters.
We'll play it again. Okay. We'll play it again. Well, I'll play that answer again.
Please do.
Listen to what he says.
Yeah.
Listen to what he says.
Yeah, the expectation was to play.
Expectation was to play as long as the coach wanted me to.
Coach wanted me to. Obviously, it was a good opportunity for everybody to get some reps.
It was a good opportunity for everybody to get some reps. That was the expectation going in for that everybody would get reps.
Yeah, because they didn't care about winning. Because it didn't matter. And as a pro athlete, it shouldn't matter.
So you should be on the air tonight, Daryl, ripping them for benching guys.
Yeah.
You should be on the air tonight, stay consistent, and say criticize them for not playing Trevor Harris and not playing Logan Ferland and not playing Jamarcus Hardrick and not playing Sam Emelis and not playing A.J. Olatt. Like, that should be your argument, not just because Jack Cohn got time. Everybody got time tonight.
That's their long-term strategies to get ready for the playoffs. I totally understand that. You have a game to win. You do everything you can to win, and then all of a sudden you're in a situation where you can win, and you decide, oh, screw it. We don't have to win.
No.
He said,
not at all.
If you guys, your argument was all night was they made the change at the fourth quarter because he told Jack Cohn that he's going to play the fourth quarter.
He told them as long as the coach wanted me to.
So the coach didn't want him to go in and win?
No, he knew that he wasn't going to play the whole game.
How do you know?
Well, he says the expectation was everybody was going to get to play.
Okay, they could have put Jack Cohn got to play. He was a short yard. He got the only touchdown for the Riders.
Oh, my God.
He did play. If you want to win the football game.
You're being very inconsistent.
No, I'm not.
You're being very inconsistent.
They're not playing to win, and that's
so
what I'm mad at them
when they put Lyon in late in the game, that was not playing to win. When they put Dahlke in for Allen, that wasn't playing to win the game. When they put Miller in for Thurman, that wasn't playing to win the game. When Bennett came in for Baldonado, wasn't playing to win. Marion came in, wasn't playing to win. Yes.
How many of those guys are quarterbacks? Your quarterback makes the difference.
No.
That's the secret.
No.
Yes, it does.
No, not in that locker room.
Yes.
Not in that family do they. Yes,
family.
The quarterback.
That family wants to win. They should want to win.
That family believes that everybody in that room can win.
So they're happy they lost.
No, they're not. Jack Cohn's not happy. Nobody's happy they lost.
Doesn't seem like it mattered to them.
Of course it mattered to them.
It mattered, Darryl.
It mattered.
Well, then why didn't they try to win it?
They did.
No, they didn't. They made a quarterback change that prevented them from winning the football game.
I think they just ran out of time.
Well, then they had a kicker who missed an important kick.
Yes.
Yeah, that blew it a lot, too.
Jack Cohn was trying to win.
Yeah, but he's not capable of it. So you put in the guy who's more capable of winning.
Then they should have played Trevor Harris.
Well, you said that.
I was joking.
How do I know you were joking?
While we were watching the game, I facetiously, or whatever that word is,
facetiously
said, it's like, put Trevor in. Let's go.
Uh-huh.
Play the Trevor Harris music.
I love the
even
word.
Even though I wasn't serious.
Did you know facetiously is one of two words in the English language that uses all the vowels in the proper order? A-E-I-O-U? And Y at the end? I'm an English major. Right?
Why we're having this debate again is an option something else I'm pondering. 1-877-332-8255 is the fan line here on the Green Zone post game show. There's still time for your calls if you want to weigh in as Daryl pick at the scab that is Jack Cohn playing time tonight.
We should call this the black and blue zone rather than the green zone.
Jesse. How are you tonight, Jesse?
I'm all right.
What did you think of the 17-16 loss to the Bombers in the QB decision?
Well, I just want to know, ask Jamie, I guess, what his definition of playing to win is, because mine is you play your best guys. You play your best guys.
So, Jesse, are you mad that they didn't play Trevor Harris?
Well, how are you not? I mean, you know, you didn't play your best guys on the football field.
This game does not matter. It does not matter.
Your health matters.
What's more important, Jesse, winning this game or keeping AJ Olek, Trevor Harris, and everybody healthy?
Beating Winnipeg.
Wrong answer.
Everybody wants the Bombers.
Everybody hates the Bombers. As they should. You should want to beat Winnipeg. He's absolutely right.
Wrong answer.
No, it's not.
What's more important?
Beating the Bombers.
Keeping Trevor Harris healthy or beating the Bombers today?
Well, don't
answer the question. What was more healthy?
Right from the beginning, yes. But when the situation sets itself up that you can win a football game, you do everything you can to win the football game. And they said all week, we're doing this, and we still plan to win the football game.
They should have had Thurman come back and Allen come back and everybody come back.
They were getting fine performances from those other guys.
You believe in the players you put out there in the scenario that you were doing it.
Poor Jack Cohn. They would have benched him because they weren't going to win. Yeah, going to pull him. Why'd they pull Kevin Gausman? You have to sometimes, right? In football, you can put the quarterback back in. In baseball, you can't. So put the quarterback back in. Jake Mayer should have been in and finished that game so they had a chance to win it.
Jake Mayer expect to come back in, Belton?
He's the guy who's going to play in the playoffs. If Trevor Harris goes down.
He expected to come back in.
No, Jake Mayer wasn't thinking he was coming back in the game.
He's got to be ready, though, because what if Jack Cohn's hurt?
Well, if he's hurt, that's an exceptional circumstance.
So you're constantly ready to go back in. That's all you hear from quarterbacks. I'm ready. I'm prepared. I can go back in at any time, right? So you do that, and they threw away a chance to win.
Well, Nathan
against
Rourke,
the hated Blue Bombers, apparently.
Nathan Rourke just
blew it open. Yeah.
Well, there's a flag on the panel. Maybe he was holding, but Nathan Rourke just won MOP with that 80-yard run for a touchdown, maybe? 70-yard touchdown.
He's got some wheels, hey?
Yeah, he does.
70-yard touchdown run by Nathan Rourke to make it 26-10 for the BC Lions. That clinches MOP.
Trevor Harris has fallen out of that conversation, hasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Because they didn't play to win tonight. 1-877-332-8255. We'll get to Game Warriors. We got a couple other guys we want to hear from who start on the defensive side of the ball for the Riders coming up from Princess Auto Stadium, as it doesn't look good for the Elks' chances to make the playoffs, and the Bombers, if they weren't drinking already, probably popped a few again, because they're 20 minutes away from clinching a playoff spot thanks to the Riders not playing to win, according to
Well, they helped. I said at the start of the game, Jamie, that this is playing into Winnipeg's hands too, right? That all of a sudden they're giving Winnipeg a good chance at a playoff berth.
Who cares about the Bombers?
Well, I've heard a lot of fans say they care about the Bombers.
Do the Riders care about the Bombers, Belton?
I don't think so.
I heard Jameer Thurman say that he cares about the Bombers. Aren't they the team that eliminated us last year? We want to do something to them this year. So I guess they're
16-14. It's not like they laid down. You saw that team lay down?
They didn't lay down.
No, they did not lay down.
They did because they made the quarterback change and made them lay down.
No, they did not lay down. There is not one guy who laid down.
I've never said that the players laid down. I said that the strategy killed them. It destroyed their chance to win the football game.
This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Welcome back to the Green Zone postgame show. Jamie Nye, Daryl Davis, and Belton Johnson with you here on this Friday as the Riders fall to the Bombers with a last-second field goal, a walk-off field goal by Sergio Castillo, 17-16, the final score in Winnipeg. But right now, let's get to the Game Warriors.
From big plays, big catches, and big hits. Now, Game Warriors.
Each and every week, we go through the Game Warriors, the top dog, so to speak, for each team. We always start with the winning side, so we're starting with the Winnipeg Blue Bombers tonight. Daryl Davis, the Winnipeg Blue Bombers offensive game warrior.
Oh, boy, there's some prizes for this one with those offensive game warriors. You know what? I was looking at Ontario Wilson because he caught the only touchdown pass, three catches for 46 yards. But I think we got to go with Brady Oliveira again, don't you? Even they didn't use him to the best of his ability, but 16 carries for 75 yards. Also caught three passes for 29 yards. He's the only guy with over 100 yards tonight.
Wow.
So, other than some of the
returners. But here's the thing. When they started to use him on that last drive.
Yeah. That's when they got.
I couldn't believe they weren't playing him.
Yep. So that's why he's the offensive game warrior. He helped them get in range.
Well, look at here's the last drive by the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. First and 10, Winnipeg 54, Brady Oliveira 16-yard run. First and 10, Brady Oliveira did get stuffed, but then completed a pass to Brady Oliveira for 12 yards, short yardage for the first down, then a 5-yard run, then a 4-yard run. He's the only guy who got the ball
in that
final drive.
And he should have. They should have given it to him more, and if they had of, then maybe it would have been more than a one-point football game.
It wouldn't
game.
Have mattered if Jack Cohn was in or not.
It might have.
Brady.
I'm not giving up.
Oliveira.
Okay.
And for the Rough Riders.
Oh, boy. Belton mentioned, we were talking about Mitchell Picton. Where has he been? Well, we know Tommy Neal's played well. He steps in when Joe Robustelli gets hurt, and 5 catches for 71 yards. Couple right along the sidelines. That one that was beautiful. They kept both feet in bounds. Mm-hmm. Nobody really shone on their offense. So I'm going with Mitchell Picton, who hasn't played for a while, but is the offensive game warrior for the Rough Riders.
And defensive game warriors for the Winnipeg Blue Bombers.
Well, Tony Jones with 6 defensive tackles. I think that he was in a lot and kept the Rough Riders from running the football. So I think stopping the Rough Riders running game, which I'm pretty sure they wanted to have in gear, we'll give it to Tony Jones as the defensive game warrior for the Winnipeg Blue Bombers.
Probably a few options for the Rough Riders.
There are. I like AJ Allen, but we were just talking about the game Antoine Brooks had. We've talked about how well he's played at that Sam linebacker spot, allowing them to use CJ Revis at safety, where they're shorthanded with all the injuries, and they cut Cozy Onyeka for breaking team rules. So Antoine Brooks may have found himself a home, and we're talking about who should play in the playoffs. I think that he's proven his worth. They've talked about how hard he's played, and they don't seem to trust him in the secondary. But where he plays and gets 2 sacks, his first 2 CFL sacks, and 5 defensive tackles, and some of the best celebration moves I've seen in a long time tonight. Added a little bit of excitement for him. So Antoine Brooks Jr. is the defensive game warrior for the Saskatchewan Roughriders.
There are your game warriors. And let's hear from our defensive game warrior, Antoine Brooks Jr.
A couple sacks for you in that game, 5 tackles, a couple special teams tackles. How do you feel about the way you played tonight?
I feel good that I played good today. I wish the outcome was different, but I feel good that I played very well for my team, not just for me, just my team.
Defensively, a lot of players coming in on rotation, given the change in the lineup. You guys played pretty well. You made life really tough for Zach Kolaris. Overall, like the defensive unit, how do you feel they played with so many guys coming in?
We played good, honestly. I feel like we played very good. It's not even about how good they play. It's about how communicated we are to them. You know, if they can understand us and understand the defense, we can ball with anybody. And I feel like that's what our defense is molded into. We're molded into, like, people just joining in our defense and making it happen. We don't want nobody to be dimmered or, you know, canceled out at all. We all got the same expectation.
I noticed you dancing a lot after you made some plays. Is that an added sense of, oh, yeah, I did it in Winnipeg because of the rivalry here?
Nah, it's not about Winnipeg at all. It's just about me. My coach always say, and I honestly feel like it's a thing. Like, football is fun, and I kind of think people kind of forget football that it's very fun. And I just want to show the people that at home that, you know, you're always going to have fun playing a professional sport. And even though you get serious most of the time of the week, and Saturday is always, or Friday is always a good day to play football. And that weather was beautiful. It was just so beautiful. I had today.
Beautiful, beautiful fall night for football. Now, you don't win the game. You want to win every game. The stakes aren't there for you guys. But how do you feel about the fact that you just couldn't quite get the job done here?
I feel like that we just need to go back to the drawing board, probably practice a little more harder. Because just because even if our starter's not here, we want to be able to win by blowout all the time. So our expectations never dim. So that's probably what it is. I feel good about it. I feel like we need to just go back and learn some more just so we can work it out and, you know, come back better next week.
How motivated is this group to be back in this building in a few weeks and for the Grey Cup?
more than people know it. Well, we just want to take step one at a time. We want to make sure just want to know. Want to know is our thing. That's our logic, and we just going to row this boat until we can.
Yes, indeed. One day less, a month away, less a day, is the Grey Cup in Winnipeg. And will the Riders be right back? Well, they likely be in the Bombers locker room, depending if the Bombers are there or not, through an Eastern crossover. That is Antoine Brooks Jr., our defensive game warrior. We'll wrap with our unsung heroes, as well as how badly Daryl beat me in the voting on the Jack Cone situation and in bold predictions next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Welcome back to the Green Zone postgame show. Jamie Nye, Daryl Davis, Belton Johnson. The Lions lead the Elks 27-17 on a night where the Riders lose to the Bombers 17-16, which means if this score holds and BC wins, the Elks are out. Bombers stamps punch their ticket to the postseason, and then it's about figuring out who's going east and who's hosting the West semi-final. But first, it's Unsung Heroes.
They weren't the game warrior, but they definitely made an impact. Time to sing the praises of the game's unsung heroes.
All right, Daryl Davis, Unsung Heroes. We start with the winning side, the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. Who is the unsung hero for the Bombers tonight?
Well, Sergio Castillo is a kicker who doesn't miss, it seems like, which is pretty important in this league. 3-for-3 in field goals. I know the longest was only 23, but he also got the convert. Game-winning field goal. Maybe he's going to be a little bit recognizable, but it's good when you don't miss a field goal.
Mm-hmm. As we go to the Rough Riders unsung hero.
They had a lot of defensive guys play really well tonight, so it could have been a lot of their defensive players. We already singled out Antoine Brooks Jr. for his great game, but I thought AJ.
We also talked about the punter too tonight, who had two coffin corner kicks.
Yes, yeah, he kicked pretty well and I think they're set at punter, but you know their defensive guys were the stars of the game, and they started a lot of their defensive starters. I know they subbed them out as the game went along, but AJ Allen got 9 defensive tackles, 8 in the first half. Wow. Just had an amazing game. You guys, Jamie said he was going to eat, and I remember Belton, I think, gave him the most tackles for the game. He played tremendous, and I think he's turning into a great football player. He's also a great interview, which we always like. So, and
nearly an interception.
Almost an interception, too. He had his hands on one. That would have been his third game in a row with an interception, right? Because he's had two the last two. So he's playing terrific, and I think people need to notice him. He's one of those unsung heroes, and I think tonight we'll give him that officially as an award.
As we'll hear from AJ Allen now from Princess Auto Stadium.
How do you feel today's game went?
We lost, so not good. I'm proud of how we battled, for sure. It took it the last second, but you know that's not our standard for sure. So more work to do.
At the same time, there's got to be a lot of positive takeaway from the way the defense really you held them till the very last second.
For sure. I mean, I think I'm proud of how we played, for sure. Did our best, man. We just came up short today. And, you know, again, just get back to the drawing board and figure out what happened.
The pass rush, you guys made Zach Kolaris' life pretty tough tonight. How much pride do you take in that as a team?
Oh, and tremendous pride. Anytime we can affect the quarterback, it's magical. And you can see what it could do to teams, right? So we take tremendous pride in that. And we keep trying to figure out ways how to get that done. So tremendous pride. It affects the game in a positive way for us.
How would you describe that game? A lot of penalties, some fumbles, kind of out of sync plays on both sides.
I would describe it with lack of discipline, lack of attention to detail. You just lack of focus, right? We clean up those things, we're going to be a dangerous team, but we can't keep having these mistakes because it's going to keep hurting us and kicking us in the butt in the future.
How much do you think the impact was of having a number of backups in the lineup?
No impact. We have the same standard, regardless of who's in the game. So, none.
Do you ultimately feel like those penalties and things like that were why either team really couldn't generate a lot of momentum in today's game?
Yeah, probably. I mean, penalties are drive starters or drive killers, right? So you keep having these issues come up. It's hidden, but it affects the game, right? Holding, offsides, pass interference, things like that. You know, they're hidden, but they have such a huge impact. So, again, we got to figure out a way to play a little bit cleaner.
That is A.J. Allen post-game with the Riders. 9 tackles and a knockdown, which should have been an interception. He probably wants that one back. Does A.J. Allen. Bold predictions from the pregame show.
Do we really got to go over it?
Oh, Daryl pretty much sealed the deal on it. He was in it to win it tonight. There's no doubt about it.
That's not what you're supposed to do.
We got a game. We got
the game playoffs. Yeah, I know.
I know we're going to have some 5 and 10 point questions.
There might
at
be 45
point.
Points available next game.
There might be 100 points available next game. Completions, yards, attempts, longest play, touchdowns, interceptions, and how many attempts by Jack Cohn was the question. That was for Jake Mayer. 15 to 20. Daryl said 18 to 25, so he's closest on both. 123 yards. Daryl was the lowest at 240. He was the lowest on the longest play, which was 20 yards for Jake Mayer. It was 26. No touchdowns, so you and Belton got a point. No interceptions. Belton gets a point. And how many attempts for Jack Coney at 8? Daryl was the only one who thought he was going to play, and now he's mad that he played. yards from scrimmage. Anderson Jr. had 7.
Wow.
And I get the point because I had 70. I was the lowest. Dell Duncan Busby had 21. Belton said 20. Joe had 16. Daryl was the lowest on that one. Bain Jr. had 20. Daryl was the lowest on that one. And the biggest play was Mitch Picton, and none of us picked him. A.J. Allen, Belton had the highest at 6 tackles. Jameer Thurman had 4. That's exactly what I said. A.J. Allen almost created a turnover, but he did not. We all said yes, and Daryl and I get a point because Jameer Thurman did not create a turnover on this one. Belton, you don't get a point on the final score because you switched teams and went with the Riders. Daryl and I went the Bombers. I get the extra point for a 21-19 Bomber win. It was 17-16. Daryl had 26-21. Daryl had 10 points.
Wow.
Belton and I had 5 and 4, respectively. So Daryl's lead jumps to 119 to 108 and 100 for Belton Johnson. So we got some work to do next week.
I know there's some 5-point questions coming, Jamie, so I'm not worried.
Okay. Well, we'll see how it looks touchdowns. Like tomorrow. But next week, it's the last game of the CFL regular season, and it's at Mosaic Stadium Saturday, October 25th, 5 o'clock kickoff, the Green Zone pregame show at 3 o'clock. Special thanks to all you who gave us a ring tonight and tried to calm us down as Daryl, myself, and Belton were fighting for the majority of the postgame show. And, of course, thanks to Belton Johnson. Thanks to Christian O'Mell for bringing back the postgame show tape for us from Princess Auto Stadium, and thanks to my coworkers, Daryl Davis, Belton Johnson. We're going to go for a post-game drink because we do get along after
we do,
all.
Yeah, we do.
But a big shout-out to Chance, our main man behind the glass right here. And have a great rest of your weekend on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.